Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, whatever it is, it'll sure change your life, won't it? All for the better. She was seeing that, and I thought, you know, whatever it is won't let me hold my peace. I thought about that prophet. Oh, I'm not going to preach anymore. Nobody wants to listen. He said it was like a fire in my bones, and I just had to. And, man, you get enough God in you, and it just comes out, and it's a wonderful thing. And that was good. Thank you for all the singing this morning. I enjoy, it's fun to sit up here, like Brother Shane was saying. Y'all don't know how good you sound. It's fun to sit up here and hear y'all singing out, worshiping together, praising the Lord. It's a great thing we get to do together. Hang on. I pulled that apart in my face. Just the cap came off is all, but it'll distract me, so I'm going to distract you with it. Well, this morning we're going to do our second sermon in Living by Faith. Today we're looking at Enoch. The faith to fellowship is what I called it. Enoch had the faith to fellowship. And as Baptists, we like the word fellowship because it usually involves food. But fellowship isn't actually food related, just it's usually done over food. And so that's where we connected those things. But Enoch with the faith of fellowship, if you turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read just a few verses. Enoch is an interesting guy as you get to look at him. There's not a whole lot about him in any one place, but there's a couple different snapshots of Enoch. And what we're going to try to do today is take the different pictures and put them together into a bigger picture and take all that the Bible teaches and let that help us in our look at Enoch and then how Enoch can challenge our lives personally. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, and I think I put it on the screen. If you can read that, it's there. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we're gonna look at Enoch this morning, the faith, the fellowship. My title comes from Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters, as you read in your Bible, it's those begats, you know. Adam begat Seth and lived this many years, and he died, and Seth lived this many years, and he begat, and he begat. And they're sometimes not the most fascinating chapters to read, but in the middle of this chapter, Genesis 5, we get this, just a couple verses about Enoch. And here's what the Bible says. It says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." And this next verse, it says, "And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." And man, what a fascinating and amazing truth. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Hebrews says he was translated that he should not see death. You know, it's like the old preacher said, Enoch and God, they just walked together so much. Enoch said, "Well, I guess it's about time to come home." And God said, "Why don't you just come on to my house today instead?" And Enoch just translated. We don't know exactly how it happened, but imagine that he just walked with God so often, so closely, that God just brought him on home. And we're going to look into some of that in a little bit. But first, let's pray this morning. Dear God, we love you. We're thankful for stories of people who lived lives like we wish we could, because it encourages us that we can. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd be with me, give me the words to say. More than that, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move through this place and give each person here what they need from your word today. God, I just pray that this morning in the service that you would be honored and that you would give people what they need through the sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Enoch, there's one more passage that talks about Enoch, and it's in Jude. It's kind of funny, Jude chapter 1, it only has the one chapter. But Jude 1, 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to conceive all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." It's like the verse with the most ungodlies in it at once. Jude is definitely making a point. But this morning, as we talk about Enoch, I want to start off with just some interesting truths about Enoch that you may or may not have thought of. So I have it all on one screen. You can read ahead, but don't get too far ahead. Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So I went through Genesis chapter 5 and I did the math. Adam was this old. So when Enoch was born, Adam was 628 years old. But he was still alive. And Adam would live another 302 years. So Enoch probably got to talk to Adam. I just hadn't, you know, that's an interesting thought, right? Seven generations, it goes Adam, Seth, and I have it on a paper in my desk where I did all the math. It's kind of scratchy. I didn't try to bring it here. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to read it. But just the thought, Adam was alive when Enoch was born. And wasn't just like, you know, he was alive when he was born, and while Enoch was a baby, Adam would have passed away. Adam lived 302 years. So Enoch was 302 years old when Adam finally passed away. So Enoch talked with Adam, and what's interesting, here you have two men. The Bible says that both walked with God. Adam literally walked with God. He would walk with God in the cool of the day and talk to God. And I imagine Adam told everybody about those times and how much he missed it and how much he enjoyed it. And I think that was part of what motivated Enoch to say, you know what? I'm going to figure out how I can walk with God. And he did. But just an interesting fact. Another thing, Jude said that Enoch prophesied. So we would say he's a preacher. He was a prophet of God. It wasn't his vocation. There wasn't necessarily a church that would have employed Enoch to preach. So Enoch had, you know, it's probably agrarian lifestyle, some kind of farm or something where he worked to sustain his family. But in his free time, Enoch preached. He told the crowd around him, look, y'all are ungodly people doing ungodly things and you need to get right. Jude says he tried to convince them. He tried to persuade them. And that, you know, when I was in college, the joke was the difference between preaching and teaching is how far the veins in your neck stick out. And that doesn't work for me. I'm not a screamer. But I got to homiletics where they really teach you what preaching is. And the guy said, the difference between preaching and teaching is the conveying of information. Preaching is conveying information with the attempt to persuade people of something. And Enoch, he was a preacher. He was trying to persuade those people to live right. He was trying to persuade them to follow God. He was trying to persuade them to do it. Another thing I think is interesting, Enoch knew the flood was coming. Now, I don't know for sure that he knew it was a flood, but Enoch knew that judgment was coming. I know that because he named his son Methuselah. Methuselah means, and I made a note here for myself, he dieth and the sending forth. Basically, it means when he dies, the judgment's coming. So Enoch even timed it out. Somehow God had spoken to Enoch. Enoch knew when Methuselah dies, there's a judgment coming. Did he specifically know it was a flood? Maybe not. But he knew there was a punishment coming, which I think partly motivated him even more to walk with God. But I think his walk with God is why God even showed him this. By the way, Enoch has Methuselah. Methuselah has Lamech. And then Lamech has Moses. So, I'm sorry, Noah. Moses and Noah, we all do it. If you tell enough Bible stories, you'll mix those two up. They don't even sound familiar. I don't know why. Both famous for water, I guess. But, so Noah is in this line. Enoch is connected. But Enoch named his son Methuselah. In other words, he was saying, hey, when he dies, there's something coming. By the way, if you go back to Genesis chapter 5 and you have to include chapter 6 and you do all the math, Methuselah died the year of the flood. I don't think Methuselah died in the flood with his dad being Enoch. I think he'd have been on the boat if he'd have been alive. But that year, Methuselah passed, and I think Noah knew, and I think the kids knew, and the family knew. Oh, Grandpa Methuselah died this year. It is coming. And the flood came that year. Then you have the next thing, I think, is Enoch is a type of the church. And here's my picture of it. Enoch knew that judgment was coming. We know there's a judgment coming called the tribulation in the book of Revelation. And what Enoch did is he tried his best to live right, walk with God, and warn everybody else he could about the coming judgment. Isn't that really what the church is supposed to be, right? We're supposed to live right, walk with God, warn everybody we can about the tribulation to come, the punishment of God, and tell them about how to get rescued. But then before the judgment came, Enoch was, our word today would be raptured out. He was translated. He was on earth. He wasn't. They couldn't find him. So I think he's a picture of the church. He's a picture that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to try to live right. We're supposed to warn people there's a judgment coming. We're supposed to show them how to avoid the judgment. But before the tribulation comes, I believe he's going to rapture us out of here. And I know there's some people that think God loves them so much he's going to let them live through the tribulation. I don't see that as love, and I don't see the Bible that way. But just some interesting things I thought were interesting about Enoch. And so before we get on to the other things, kids, here's some stuff maybe you learned today that your parents learned with you. I kind of figured it out this week. I've always wondered, seventh from Adam, as long as they lived. And I just had never sat down to do the math, so I sat down and did the math this week. Enoch, and I mean, it wasn't a huge world. Enoch probably met Adam, which also brings a lot of other interesting thoughts to your mind. If Enoch met Adam and made such good choices, this world that was so wicked that later God would decide to destroy with the flood, if that generation hadn't met Adam, their parents probably had. Definitely their grandparents had. It doesn't take very long to get very far from God once you start going. People talk about the prodigal son. He went to a far country. How far was it? As soon as he stepped off property, he was in a far country. I mean, he was living wrong, making bad choices. And here we have the population of the earth in less than 10 generations. And well, by the time you get to Enoch, we're at 7 generations. He's the seventh from Adam. Adam is 1, Enoch is 7. And the world is so wicked that God tells Enoch, hey, I'm going to destroy this earth for their disobedience, for their ungodliness. And he began to warn them. 7 generations from there's only 2 people on the planet, and they both know for sure who God is, to they've gotten so wicked, God's going to destroy them. It's a challenge to us to teach our children. It's a challenge for us to continue to stay faithful. There's a lot of challenge in there in the world that Enoch lived in. But then you get back, and we want to talk today about living by faith and the faith to fellowship. And Enoch... Oh, I put this about the church. Those who are alive when the Lord returns will be translated because of faith. Why was Enoch... nobody else has ever had what Enoch had happened. Why did God choose Enoch? It was his faith. So I thought, what kind of faith? When the Lord comes back, we're looking forward to the rapture. I'd rather be raptured than go through the grave. I know I don't get to pick, but if I get to pick, I've told God I'd rather be raptured than die. It's my preference. I know it's probably yours. We're looking for that trumpet. That's why I learned to play the trumpet. Not really. I learned to play trumpet because it was 3 buttons. It seemed the easiest. But we're looking for the trumpet. We're looking for the rapture. Who gets to go? Just like Enoch, Enoch's translation was based on his faith. Whether or not you go in the rapture when it comes, it'll be based on your faith. Well, what kind of faith? I broke it into 3 parts. Out of... Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first thing, you have to have the faith. You have to believe that God is. You have to believe that God exists. We live in a world where more and more people want to say there is no God. So the first step is you have to believe that God exists. But there has to be more than that. I mean, the devil knows that God's real. So just knowing that God's real, just believing that there's a God, that's not quite enough. There has to be more. So the second thing, you don't have to believe that God is. You have to believe what God did. You have to believe that God did something specific for you. I mean, God loved you so much that He allowed His sinless, perfect, holy Son, who the Bible says He is God, part of the Trinity. He was born as a baby. We celebrate. You realize some of our best celebrations revolve around this plan of God. He was born on Christmas. It's a lot of people's favorite day. And really, the design is to celebrate that God loved us enough. Jesus would be born as a baby. And He lived that perfect life, and He helped, and He healed so many people. And then He died on a cross to take your sin, your punishment. And then He rose again from the dead. There's Easter. We celebrate the resurrection, because Christmas wouldn't be as powerful if there wasn't an Easter. The Easter is the resurrection where God proved, I have power over sin, hell, death, and the grave, and I can be your Savior. So we believe that God is, that He exists. We believe what God did, that He died and rose again for your sins. But it doesn't help until you take the final step where you actually place your faith and trust in Him. You have to just choose to believe it. There's the ancient example of a chair, right? I mean, this It's a good-looking chair. I've been sitting in it this morning already. But we could talk about the chair. You could all say the chair's a great chair, but the chair doesn't do any good till you sit in the chair, right? So that's where, you know, you can believe that God is, the chair exists. You can believe what the chair can do, what God did. Yeah, I believe the chair could hold you up. The chair doesn't do you any good till you actually sit on down. I can pick my feet up. Now I've placed my faith in this chair. See, there's a lot of people, they believe who God is, and they kind of believe He's done some good things, but you got to get to the place you place your faith in Him. You ask Him to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. That's the step it takes. Once you've done that, it's done. You're at the level, you've trusted in Him, He's your Savior, He'll always be your Savior. You couldn't, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you wanted to, you couldn't get out of it. He's the Savior. And this morning, if you haven't never done that, I would challenge you to do that today. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's nobody too bad for Jesus to save. Paul said, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Before Paul got saved, he used to hunt Christians and murder them. God saved him. There's not much you can do that's worse than chasing people down, killing them on purpose. I can't really think of anything. If Jesus could save Paul and turn him into one of the greatest missionaries ever, He could save you. You're never too far gone to trust in Jesus as your Savior. So that's the kind of faith that Enoch had, first of all, but Enoch took it further. And the question is, how did Enoch have a faith that pleased God? I mean, I would love for somebody to say at my funeral that I pleased God with my life. Wouldn't you like that? Say, man, that's a guy that walked with God and pleased God. The Bible says Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Here's the crazy thing. Hey, think about it. Who do you have a testimony with? That ungodly world that was so wicked, God decided to send a flood and destroy the world. Those people recognized in Enoch that he pleased God. I mean, when we think Enoch had a testimony he pleased God, your thought is, oh yeah, the people at church knew. There wasn't a church. I mean, who got in the boat? Noah and his kids a little bit later, right? There weren't a whole lot of people around walking with God and Enoch. So who did Enoch have this testimony with? The wicked people out there. The ungodly, as Jude calls them. The people who were living wrong, that God loved enough to send an Enoch to tell them what was right, but He was holy enough to send a flood if they weren't going to get right, punishment was going to come. It's hard to balance the love and mercy and the justice of God for us. But it all works. He gets it right. And Enoch came, and he tried to share the truth with them. He tried to convince them. But how do you have the faith that pleased God? I think the answer is sometimes the answers are so easy we don't want to believe them. But he walked with God. And this walk with God, see, when Adam walked with God, it was a physical walking. There was a time when Adam and God and Eve would meet and they would walk and talk. That's not what it means when Enoch walked with God. Enoch walking with God meant he lived his life like God was there all the time. He didn't live with a bracelet and say, what would Jesus do? He just lived his life, everything he did, under the acknowledgement that God was there, and that impacted all his decisions. Enoch lived his life with the realization that God was with him, and it affected everything he did. I mean, think back to when you were in school versus when the teacher was in the room and if the teacher stepped out of the room, right? The knowledge of the teacher's presence affected your actions. For some of you adults, we could make it more relevant. Imagine your boss is in the room and out of the room, right? The presence of the authority changes things. And every teacher knows when the principal walks in the back of the room, and you kids know that's a whole other level of presence of authority in the room, right? Like, it's amazing. My mom was a principal, and there were certain teachers that loved it when she would come in to do, like, the teacher reviews, whatever, because she was kind of there to grade them, but just that authority being in the room, it affected behavior. That's what Enoch's walk with God meant. He recognized that the authority of the God of heaven was there, and it affected his behavior all the time. And because his behavior was affected, he lived correctly. And because he lived correctly, there was nothing in the way between him and God, and therefore he had fellowship. He had friendship. He just talked to God all the time about everything. I mean, isn't that what friends do? You just are there. And you just talk about whatever. Enoch's life was changed when he just lived all the time like God was there. And he wanted him there. See, when the principal's in the back of the room or your boss walks in your office, you live like they're there, but you don't always want it. Right? There's this forced compliance, and man, I can't wait till that person leaves so that I can breathe again. Enoch, it wasn't a negative thing. It was positive. God was there. And it was a wonderful thing. He wanted him there. He chose to want to be a friend with God. And Enoch lived his life in this fellowship with God. And because of his fellowship with God, he would step out and do different things. I mean, he named his son Methuselah. When he dies, judgment's coming. Thanks, Dad, for the great name. Right? I mean, is it a family name? Probably not. Was it a name other kids in the neighborhood had? Probably not. But because of Enoch's walk with God, it impacted the name of his child. Because of Enoch's walk with God, it impacted his spare time. When he got done working in the field, he didn't go home and put his feet up all the time, or he didn't go do whatever else other people were doing. He went out into the town and into the neighborhoods, and he tried to convince people to change their life and follow God. It impacted his decisions, this realization that God was real. But I think if we could talk to Enoch this morning, he would say it changed it in all the ways for the best. See, we have this idea that walking with God and fellowshipping with God becomes a list of rules. Well, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I don't do this and I don't do this and I don't do that, then I'll be walking with God and God will be pleased. And it becomes a checklist, and it becomes rule-oriented, and it becomes negative. And that's not at all what God wants. Matter of fact, if you look at most of the complaints God has with people in the Bible, it's that they've done this. In Romans chapter 9, verse 31, he says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." Why? Israel, as a nation, spent so much of their history trying to follow the law. But they never pleased God with it because they were following the law like a list of do's and don'ts to please the principal, rather than the things that would bring pleasure to the King of Kings that I love and the things that would disappoint the King of Kings that I love. Because when you love someone, it does change your behavior, but it doesn't feel so bad. You know? And I was reading in a book, and somebody said, it's do versus done. What Israel wanted from God, what God wanted from the Jews wasn't form or liturgy or following rules. What God wanted from the Jews was for them to love Him. It was that God wanted faith and trust. God wanted fellowship. He said, look, these are the things that you can do to please me, to walk with me, and this is what I'm looking for. And Israel said, oh, good, a list. And they, at the end of the day, Israel had begun to worship the list and forgot the list was supposed to point them to God. And so many people, even today, that's what they do. They read a book or they find a thing and they say, okay, this is what Enoch did to please God. I'm going to do this list. And we get so focused on a list, and it's not the list. It's loving the Savior. It's living like He's there. How often did God tell Israel in the Old Testament through His prophets, I hate your sacrifices? I mean, there's one verse he literally says, I hate your sacrifices. Because you're doing all the things right, but you don't do it out of a heart that loves me. You're just fulfilling your list. See, if I want to have fellowship with God, I can't be worried about a list. I just need to love God and have a desire to want to be around Him. To recognize that He's always there, ready to have fellowship with me. Do I have the faith that I want to obey and have fellowship with Him? Enoch lived in a world where everybody else thought he was crazy. I mean, all that stuff in Jude, it's the ungodly, the ungodly, the ungodly. We don't read anywhere about Enoch had a friend, humanly. Enoch was willing to step out on his own to appreciate this walk with God. And then you think, you know, if you go back to Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And too often we read that and think, oh yeah, there's a reward. You seek God, you get saved, you get to go to heaven. Heaven is not the reward in that passage, I don't think. If you look at the, I don't think Enoch would say his reward was heaven. He definitely got to go, and he definitely skipped the punishment. But if you talk to Enoch, he got the reward that God later tells Abraham what the reward is. In Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Man, Abraham was being challenged. Go to a far country, and we're going to get to Abraham later, so I didn't want to get too much on that. But God said, you know what your reward is going to be? It'll be me. Abraham wasn't chasing a promised land. Abraham stayed in a tent and stayed on the move. He wasn't worried about a house. He was searching for a country not built by hands, which would later be heaven. But what Abraham enjoyed on this earth was the reward of a relationship with God. I mean, imagine. Abraham is later called the friend of God. What is the reward that Enoch had? In a world where everyone else seemingly was ungodly, and it seemed like there was no one else to walk with God but Enoch, you know what Enoch realized? God was all he needed. We sang when I was a kid, Christ is all I need. I don't remember need, something like that. We used to do motions. But we sang it, Christ is all I need, and it sounded good. You know what Enoch said? God's all I need. He is my reward. And I think if we got a glimpse of the reward God that Enoch had fellowship with, we'd say it's more than enough. Better than a boat or a car or a new outfit. That walk with God, true fellowship with God, daily, more than daily, constantly, just living with and enjoying time with God, Enoch would say, I wouldn't trade it for a thing. All the fun that other people thought they were having, they had no idea what real joy was, what real reward was. It wasn't in having the most crops or whatever else the people of his day were doing. For Enoch, his reward was God Himself, that relationship with Him. It's like back when you were first dating, and she was the reward, right? And so you pursued and you did whatever you did, bought flowers and took her out and all the different whatever you did. Why? I mean, ultimately you wanted to marry her, but the reward wasn't a ring. The reward was to her. And just being with her. You know what? The reward should be God. Just being with Him. And our pursuit of Him. Yeah, there's some, you know what? If you want to pursue God, there are definitely some things you should not do. If you want to pursue God, there are definitely some things you should do. You can't say you're pursuing God and you never read your Bible. That's His note to you. You should read it. You can't say you're pursuing God and you never pray. I mean, there's some things you have to do and there's some things you can't do. But if you're pursuing God because you love Him, it's not a list. It's not out of rules or regulation. It's out of just desire to be with. You know? That's why as a college guy, all my buddies were going out to play football in the rain. It was perfect weather. And Jacksonville, is kind of a chilly night, raining. We're going to go play football and get muddy. It was going to be great. And the school announced they were going to have a movie night and show some girl movie. But Jessica wanted to go. And being with her just sounded like way more fun than the football thing. So I told my buddies, I'm like, look, man, you're going to have to find another to even it out or something because I'm going to go to the movie thing with Jess. And they were like, oh, you're whipped. I'm like, call it what you want. I'd rather be with one pretty girl than eight sweaty boys. I mean, call it what you want. And I went to the movie. And I did not enjoy the movie. I knew I didn't want to watch the movie when I signed up to go. But I wanted to be with her. And was it a drudgery to not go play football? No. I just looked at life and said, I'd rather be with her than with them. What they were doing was more fun, but her company was better. And I don't feel like I missed out. You know what? There, we look at this Christian life and we say, I'll miss out on this and miss out on that. Man, when you find out what the exceeding reward is of fellowship with God, you look back and you say, I didn't miss out. Being with God was so much better than any of that stuff. If Enoch were here, he'll tell you, a walk with God is so rewarding. You just have the faith to pursue Him. The Bible, it tells us, without faith it's impossible to please Him. You can't in your own flesh follow it all. You become like the Israelites, just chasing a list, trying to improve something. Do it because you love Jesus. Have the faith to realize that God is who He is. The faith that says, He's the God that loved me enough, He provided salvation. He's the God that loves me enough, He takes care of me every day. I just want to be with Him. But you got to have the faith to realize who He is. Not just that He exists, but really who He is, to really want to be with Him. And my challenge this morning is, let's just take a fresh look at God, who He is. He's God, and He wants to be with you. Why don't we want to be with Him? Let's pray.